We've spent a fair amount of time today talking about human communication, or the lack of it, on Capitol Hill. Allow us a break to listen in on another species as they chatter. The sounds of dolphins, but are they saying anything? Now, Jane Goodall had her chimpanzees, Diane Fossey her gorillas, and Denise Herzing has her dolphins. In fact, she was inspired by the other two women to observe long-term the Society of Wild Animals to tell their story. And this marine mammalogist has been working with the same group of dolphins for 25 years, cataloging thousands of hours of behaviors and vocalizations, watching young calves become parents, even grandparents. And her work provides a look into the complex world of wild dolphins and also is helping us answer the question, where are we in communicating with them? Denise is author of the new book, Dolphin Diaries. Her new project, Chat, may eventually help divers communicate with dolphins directly. And she joins us on the line from the Bahamas. Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
We want to get to where you think we are in dolphin communication, but first, how jealous many of us are that you even do this work. We know it's hard work, but what was that like the first time you slipped into the water with dolphins?
It was a quiet morning, and I had a mother and calf come looming out of the gin clear water of the Bahamas and just assess me.
I mean, to have another species size you up has got to be, it is an intense experience, I imagine.
You know, dolphins are, I think, pretty unique in that capacity, which is why we're so fascinated by them.
Well, but tell us more, because we think we know things about dolphins. What is the dolphin's capacity for interaction?
Well, dolphins are social mammals, like humans are, like chimpanzees are, elephants, etc. And most complex social mammals have complex communication, a lot of awareness of what's going on, long-term memory, all those things. It's just that dolphins are so alien to us because we can't read their body signals like we can other primates, for example. So first of all, they're a mystery because of that, but that doesn't mean that there aren't very clear parallels and patterns that we can pull out of their communication system, for example.
And what are some of your observations? For instance, what kind of communication do they have with each other?
They have a lot of different ways of communicating. They are master acousticians, so they use sound, both hearing and active sound projection, to communicate. And that's how we usually think of dolphins, that they make a lot of sounds. But they have body language. And, for example, in the Bahamas, the water is very clear. So we look at things like their postural behaviors, their orientations to each other. They have touch, which they use a lot. They're very tactile animals. And sound can also be tactile in the water for a dolphin. They can buzz each other and tickle each other and stimulate each other, that sort of thing.
And how complex does it get? What are some of the things you've seen dolphins communicate to each other?
We can, for example, correlate general sounds with general behavior. So I can get in the water and I can shoot my video with sound, and I can record fighting sounds with this group of dolphins that fighting. Or I can record a mother and a calf with some whistle exchanges, and some of the time they have bubbles coming out of their blowhole, so I can correlate a sound with a bubble, for example. The difficulty is, number one, knowing what those sounds mean in detail, and number two, it's sometimes, or very often actually, hard to match the sound with the vocalizer. So that's something our technology still is challenged to do, especially in the wild. We can see dolphins exchanging fight sounds, little squawks and bleats and blurps and all sorts of types of sounds. But to get to the exact meaning, that's still going to take some time to figure out. But one of the things we have going for our situation, for example, is that we can see these sounds in very specific contexts, like I can see a mother with her two siblings and one is babysitting. And so that gets us closer to how are these sounds used in a very specific context where we know who the players are and their relationship.
So getting back to how they might communicate with humans, how much do you think we can communicate with dolphins? How far do you think it can go?
Well, I think because of work with other species, like chimpanzees or parrots, we know that if we create interfaces that are flexible and close to what a social mammal does when it's learning a communication system, that we may be able to develop some sort of rudimentary communication system. I mean, we already interact and communicate with them in the water just by being in there to a certain extent, but if you really want to explore their cognitive abilities, their communication, how they might perceive and interact, then you really have to create a tool for them, and that's basically what these other interfaces did with keyboards, for example. They gave the non-human animal the tool to request things, to explore the system and see what they got by pushing X, Y, and Z. So, I think it's possible. How far we can go, I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever have a detailed conversation, but I think developing a mutual language is potentially possible, or at least some rudimentary communication system to do things together and see where it goes.
You know, so much of this is in development, and it's still very much up in the air, but we mentioned chat. Explain how that might work.
Well, chat is a new system we're developing with some colleagues at Georgia Tech, and it's really an evolution from work we did about over 10 years ago. So our work with chat is going to be basically designing a wearable computer in the water that has a real-time sound recognition, so that if we can put some sounds in the water that represent objects, for example, we can, if we get a real-time mimic from the dolphins, we can respond appropriately.
Denise Herzing, marine mammalogist and research director of the Wild Dolphin Project. Her book is called Dolphin Diaries. And just, I know scientists, you try to be dispassionate, but can you be really with these creatures?
You know, I think because in our case, and probably other studies, when you work with another species, in our case, we're depending on their participatory abilities with us to observe what they do. They have to trust us. They have to be comfortable with us in the water. You know, I think we can still do research, and still, leave our subjectivity to a certain amount behind. But you're looking at a dynamic communication system and individuals. And we do our work. We do our science. But you can still be excited about what you do and wonder and speculate about what might be going on, because that leads us to new questions and new hypotheses to test and ways of looking at these unique individuals where we maybe haven't gone there before.
Some people might be saying, I would worry about what a dolphin would say to us if in fact we could finally figure out how to understand them.
Well, listen, that's the point, isn't it? If whether dolphins are in the wild or they're in a captive situation, if we want to better their lives or leave them alone or whatever, it only would behoove us to learn more about what they need and what they want, whether it's behavioral enrichment in a zoo or an aquarium or in the wild. And if they can express themselves, we can better meet their needs. So it could be a really nice tool from that perspective.
Denise, thanks so much. Research scientist Denise Herzing, her new book is Dolphin Diaries.